Today on this episode of Queer Talk, we're welcoming Shane Windermere. Shane is the Executive Director of Campus Pride. Welcome, Shane.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here.
Shane, you're bringing an event to Nashville in a short term, and you've got quite an organization here. For our listeners who are unfamiliar with Campus Pride, could you give us a little background?
Sure. Campus Pride is a national organization that works with lesbian, gay, bi, transgender, and allied college students from across the United States. And we've been around since 2001. The leadership camp that we have here at Vanderbilt is in its fifth year. Our organization, our mission is to build future leaders, and this camp is one of the ways to do so.
So I see that you and three associates created this organization, Campus Pride, but you called it something else originally. Would you give us a little idea of what led you to this endeavor?
Sure. So Campus Pride originally started out as an online clearinghouse for resources to help LGBT campus groups perform at their campus, their college across the U.S. And so it was called Campus PrideNet, and it was founded in 2001, as I mentioned. And about 4 years ago, Campus Pride became a full-fledged nonprofit, and we dropped the net, and we still have our online clearinghouse and our resources, but we also have many other programs and services, such as our camp, our index that looks at gay-friendly colleges. And so, the organization has truly grown over the last, 10 years. This September will be our 10-year anniversary, so we're real excited about that as well.
Wonderful, a 10-year anniversary. Did you imagine it going to this level when you started it?
Well, I always had hopes. There's really no guarantee, and, what's really a tribute to the organization is that students find value. There's a need for leadership development and kind of social justice work for young people today. And that's why Campus Pride has really kind of weathered the storm when it comes to the economy and nonprofits in the LGBT community.
Right. So the demand is there. And I also noticed that you're very strong about this is for students and by students in how you organize the program. And that certainly leads to this conference, this camp, you have coming up this weekend. You want to talk a little more about, what kind of programs you've got at the camp?
Sure. So, like I mentioned, it's our fifth year for our camp, and the camp is actually called Camp Pride, and so it's a five-day leadership camp that's hosted on the campus of Vanderbilt University. The students stay in a residence hall there. We do camp-like activities, but there's no tents, there's no fishing or anything like that. It's truly a queer camp in all regards. The students go through the social change model of leadership development, and the curriculum for the camp really is based in one of social justice and kind of exploring your own identity and becoming a better leader as a result of knowing who you are and what your own motivations are to help create change in your community, whether that be your college campus or your local community. And so the curriculum is based in that social justice model of leadership development. It's not about coming to camp and learning how to be, a politician or learning how to be how to write a press release or media work. Those are all important skills, but our camp is based on really the foundations of leadership and how to be a better leader overall. So that's really powerful in our movement because oftentimes we talk about, these individual skills, but we really don't talk about what it means to be a leader with authenticity, integrity, trust, and honesty as a leader. We don't do that typically in the straight community, much less the LGBT community. And so, you know, we're real excited. This is our fifth year at camp. We have, in addition to the curriculum, we have faculty that come from across the United States, many of which work on college campuses, some that are lawyers, some that work in the entertainment industry. We have, you know, guest speakers and keynotes from a variety of organizations. Mara Kiesling is the head of the National Center for Transgender Equality, who will be one of our keynotes. We have T.J. Jorian, who was actually in the movie Trans Generation, and so T.J. will be there. And then we have Blue Copas, who was actually dismissed under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He was an Arabic translator. He'll be there to talk about kind of the future of the military and Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So we have a variety of speakers. We also have entertainers, really fun people. Randy Driscoll, who wrote the song What Matters for the Matthew Shepard Foundation. She's a national singer-songwriter. She'll be in town to perform at our camp. BB from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 1 will actually be coming to our camp. And she was the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 1. We have a comedian, Gina Rogers. We have a spoken word artist, Kit Yan. And so, I mean, we have so many people, so many things going on at the camp. It's going to be a packed week. And, you know, we're truly blessed and we feel really, you know, quite, you know, excited about being at Vanderbilt for this wonderful leadership development opportunity for these students.
Well, it is such a full schedule that it's a good thing your campers are really young, so they have the energy and the stamina to keep up with this schedule. Maybe a little bit more about the individuals who are coming to your camp. What are your campers, who are they made up of?
Sure. So they come from all different campuses. So it's people from the West Coast, people from the Northeast, you know, the South. One of the reasons why we host the camp at Vanderbilt the last 2 years is to get more southern schools and students involved with the camp. They tend to be freshmen, sophomore, juniors. When someone comes to camp, they actually leave. They leave with an action plan that helps them figure out what they want to do back on their campus to create change the next year.
Right.
And so this action plan is really powerful in that they leave with over the next year, I want to see, our campus create gender-neutral restrooms, or I want to see a safe zone program developed, or, you know, I want to get sexual orientation or, let's say, gender identity as part of the campus policy. The students come from all kind of levels of the campus when it comes to LGBT inclusiveness. Some of them, come from religious-based campuses. Others come from large four-year public institutions. We get a number of private campuses that come to camp. The students come from all over the place. And this year, End the Life TV is going to be doing a documentary about our camp, and we'll be there to really focus on these leaders. One of our students comes from D.C., and he was featured in his high school. He was a homeless youth because he was kicked out from his family. And so this student was awarded a scholarship to come to camp because we do give scholarships away to the students. There's really a variety of stories of these young people who come together to the camp. We have a woman, a young woman who lost her apartment in the tornadoes that happened down in the Alabama area.
Yes.
And so, there's a lot of people coming to camp who have personal stories related to LGBT issues. You know, personal stories related to just kind of their own experience. It's really one of the best things that I've ever been involved with in my life because it's quite amazing being around these young people.
Right. And you also have a track along with the camp for faculty advisors, teachers at schools, is that correct?
Yeah, that's something new this year, actually. We have about a dozen, a little under 10, I think, advisors who are going through a boot camp. So one of the big problems that a lot of these students have when they go back to the campus to implement their action plan is that, you know, their advisor doesn't know necessarily how to help them or isn't really kind of part of the same, team per se, and that they don't really have an investment in the action plan that the student had written. So one of the things we're doing is we actually have an advisor boot camp so the student can bring their advisor to kind of go through a separate track and kind of a separate experience at camp to understand how, as an advisor, they can be supportive of the LGBT and ally students who are part of the campus group. And so Campus Pride decided that we want to make an investment not only in the undergraduate students that are coming to our camp, but also their advisor, because the advisor is going to be the one who's going to be there at least, more than hopefully 3, 4, 5 years, helping these students on an ongoing basis. And so the advisor boot camp is something really new to our Camp Pride this year that we're real excited about.
So growth continues, and as I've looked over some of your material, you do have a lot of projects going on. Before I start sort of quizzing you on some of those, but Shane, could you give me a little idea of what led you to work in this field?
So my background is in higher education. I have a master's degree in student development and leadership development, and when I was in college back in the early to mid-90s, there was talk and discussion about LGBT issues, but it was still very much in the closet. And as a student, forming a campus group, getting sexual orientation as part of the non-discrimination policy, I mean, those were all things that I was very involved with. But it was hard to do because there was no support on the campus I was at in the middle of Kansas. And so I decided that when I was in, grad school, I wrote a book about my coming out to my fraternity brothers, and it was called Out on Fraternity Row. And it was a bestseller when it came out in the gay community. And it kind of led to developing resources around fraternity and sorority issues and LGBT life. And then through that, developed more resources around just LGBT campus issues. And, before long, I was out speaking. I was writing more books. My most recent book was The Advocate College Guide, which is branded with The Advocate magazine. And it looks at the 100 best gay-friendly, LGBT-friendly campuses in the United States. And so through my own story of coming out to my straight fraternity brothers, I really got kind of the courage and the support to continue my work with Campus Pride and to really develop and found an organization with some of my colleagues that it is today. Last year, Campus Pride in September of 2010, we published the national report. It's called The State of Higher Ed for LGBT People. And it's the first time there ever been any national research around LGBT issues. And what was interesting about this, what relates to why I created Campus Pride, 10 years ago, is because still today, there's only 13% of higher education institutions, 13% that have sexual orientation as part of their non-discrimination statement, and, less than 7% have gender identity expression as part of their non-discrimination statement. And, roughly about 6 to 8% have institutional support for LGBT students. So less than, about 6 to 8% of our college campuses, our 4-year public, private, community colleges actually have support for LGBT students. And we're talking about today. And so while we've made progress, there's probably a good 600 colleges out there that are doing really good work or trying to do really good work around LGBT issues. One of the reasons why I founded Campus Pride was because there's many campuses out there that don't have any support. much like when I was a student back in the early to mid-90s, there was no support at all.
Right. And, well, that's a perfect time for me to sort of direct attention at your website, because the resources and the items there are numerous. We'll let our folks know that they can find Campus Pride on the web at www.campuspride.org. And would you like to touch on some of those resources? Certainly, one of the things that jumps out at me, because the title is your anti-hate campaign, Stop the Hate, and some, any of those programs you'd like to highlight, Shane?
Sure. So, you know, as I mentioned, Campus Pride's been around 10 years, and so we have a variety of online resources that are really meant to help LGBT students start a student group on their campus. It's meant to help them in figuring out what types of programming, what types of programs they can implement on their campus to create change. So, like, whether it be a safe zone or a safe space program. So you can find tons of resources under our resource page that are really examples of potential best practices for your campus to implement. In addition to that, we have our Stop the Hate program, as you mentioned, which is on all issues of hate, from sexual orientation to gender identity to race, ethnicity, to gender, disability. I mean, it encompasses all the issues of hate crimes and bias incidents. And it's actually a three-day train the trainer. So you, your students, faculty, staff, your community can actually go through a 12-module learning curriculum that was developed through Campus Pride, the Anti-Defamation League, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Center for the Prevention of Hate Violence, the Matthew Shepard Foundation, and a number of national organizations helped develop this curriculum. And it's really quite amazing. We've trained, I think, nearly 1,800 students, faculty, and staff across the U.S., who are now trainers in this curriculum on bias and hate crime prevention. So that's real exciting. We have our index, which is the Campus Pride Index, that right now we have nearly 300 colleges that are part of. Colleges go online and they self-assess their LGBT-friendly policies, programs, and practices, and they basically learn where they need to improve and what they're doing well. A high school parent or a student can actually go online and they can search now for gay-friendly, LGBT-friendly colleges through this index at campusprideindex.org. And it's really quite amazing that now you can actually go online and, like, you're shopping for a pair of shoes, you can shop for gay-friendly colleges through this self-assessment tool that is all based in research from our research team. You know, we have our Voice in Action Leadership Award. So if you have an outstanding leader on your campus, you can nominate them for a National Leadership Award. About six of our students this year were invited to the White House for Pride, for the Pride event at the White House, who were nominated and who were selected either for our Voice in Action Leadership Award or for our top leadership program through Campus Pride. Through the Voice in Action program. So, I mean, that's kind of exciting that they actually got to go to the White House this year as well for the Pride event. You know, Campus Pride also has our fraternity and sorority outreach, which is our Lambda 10 project. We host a conference in November this year. It's at Western Michigan University. This conference is a great opportunity for fraternity and sorority members to learn about LGBT issues and how to create a more welcoming environment for gay, lesbian, bi, men and women, but also around trans issues, which is quite, progressive to even think about in a fraternity or sorority. So that's yet another really amazing program we have, is this, you know, this outreach to Lambda, through the Lambda 10 Project. Campus Pride, has been really quite phenomenal in that, most of our programs and services are things that students have either helped us develop or that have said, you know, here's a need on our campus. Here's something that we truly need your support, or we need something to deal with. You know, we have our Queer It Up, you know, Fridays, where we try to highlight resources and things happening on campuses. And so the Queer It Up Friday is one way we go about highlighting that. And you can find that. We actually have our blog, campuspriceblog.org, is a great way to keep up on what's going on campuses across the U.S. So that's just a sampling of some of the resources we have and some of the programs and services that Campus Pride has. You know, we're developing a new athletic program to do work with college athletics, you know, and so that's real exciting. It's the Out to Play project. And so, I mean, we're constantly developing something new or improving something that we currently have.
Wow. Let's do a little promotion. This work costs money, and you are a not-for-profit. And if folks were interested in helping out, how would they go about doing that?
Definitely. I mean, we would love to have individual donors, corporate donors. You know, we do our best to raise monies, and all the monies we get, you know, go to our programs and services. You can go online to campuspride.org, and then on the left-hand sidebar, there's a word called donate, and you just click on the donate tab. And you could become a monthly donor. You could just give one donation a year and have it be your donation. We accept any level of donation, and it all counts. You know, while we're in Nashville every year, we do plan on coming back next year to Nashville for camp. And so if you just want to bake cookies, if you want to, you know, donate some bottled water, you know, if you want to give a donation of money, you know, we take all sorts of donations. Even if you want to help us just pick up and help us with ground transportation of some of our artists and entertainers. We value time and energy of people just as much as we do money. But, of course, the money helps a lot. So thank you for asking about that.
Well, you know, all of these organizations, you've got to have a little love to make them to keep going. And just looking at the sheer amount of projects you do, and give us, you know, this is a very tight ship, I'm wondering. Now, most of your work is virtual. Do you actually have an office location, or are your folks, you and your associates, working, you know, scattered around the country?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And it's one of the things that I actually pride myself on as a leader of the organization is, you know, we have so many wonderful organizations out there, but one of the things I didn't want to develop was a, you know, an organization where the money's all went to overhead or all went to an office space or, you know, a fancy, you know, desk or, you know, all the stuff that you sometimes see in nonprofits, and you're wondering, well, where did that money come from? And so, you know, we really pride ourselves on most of our work is done on college campuses, so we don't need to have a fancy office space. And most of our volunteers, you know, they get paid full-time for their professional work in higher ed, typically. And so, you know, my whole focus was why not, you know, utilize volunteers that are really true professionals and have them, you know, help with whether it be our camp or with our index. And we've been very successful in that model. We're based in Charlotte, North Carolina, but, you know, it's not, we do have an office space, but it's more of a transitional space. In that I'm out on the road most of my time, and so most of our monies are spent on travel and websites and resources and our programs that we do on the campus. You know, and one of the things we're very transparent with is if you go under the About Us section of our website, you can actually pull up, since we got our nonprofit status about 4 or 5 years ago, as I mentioned. You know, we've been around as an online network since 2001, but we got our 501c3 about 4 or 5 years ago. You can actually see our budget and all of our Form 990s on our website under the About Us section, so you can learn a little bit about, you know, our donors and our monies and how much go to what programs and services. But it's kind of a unique way to build a nonprofit and to fund a nonprofit in that, you know, you don't think about traditional spaces because colleges have amazing spaces that, like at Vanderbilt, as you all know, you know, we don't own Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt is our host, but they give us tremendous spaces to be able to do an amazing camp And, you know, that's a lot better than having to worry about our own office or our own programmatic spaces here in Charlotte or elsewhere.
Right. So it's a wonderful benefit being able to work with all these large institutions.
Yeah, so large and small. I mean, we work with everyone. So, we've been to campuses that are, less than 2,000 students. So it's great.
Well, Shane, you've given us a lot to think about today, and it's certainly going to be hope you get some rest this week before you dive into your event. So we want to remind folks that the Vanderbilt Camp, we're going to be hosting these lovely folks here in Nashville for July 19th through the 24th. So if you see some folks from out of town, you'll give them another good smile while they're here. We have been speaking with Shane Windermere, the Executive Director of Campus Pride. Shane, thank you for talking to us on Queer Talk today.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Queer Talk. Queer Talk is a Joyce Arnold production. This is Carter Witt. Thank you.
Queer Talk is a Joyce Arnold production. Queer Talk Radio airs each Sunday from noon until 1 p.m. on WRFN LPFM 107.1 FM, and also streams live at RadioFreeNashville.org and archived at QueerTalkRadio.Podomatic.com. Thank you for tuning in. This is Carter Witt.